All right. Well, if you've got your Bibles this morning, we just want to open up God's Word and just listen to Him and hear what God has to say to us this morning. So if you'll open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. And as you do that, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You. It's a light. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Today, Lord, we ask, Father, that Your will be done. Your kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven today, Father. We pray that the hearts and lives will be transformed by the power of Your Word, that transformation will take place today, that blinders and veils will be lifted so revelation can be received this morning in this place of what You are speaking to us through Your servant today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you got your Bibles open. Would you read with me chapter 37 of Genesis? We're going to be reading from verses 3 to verse 11. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a robe of many colors, but his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all of his brothers. They hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Hear this dream that I have dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And behold, your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf." His brother said to him, "You are indeed to reign over us? Or are you indeed to rule over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. And then he dreamed another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, "Behold, I have dreamed another dream. Behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars are bowing down to me." And when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall I and your mother and your brothers indeed come and bow ourselves to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him. But his father kept the saying in his mind. If there's anybody in the Bible that went through such hardship and so much injustice in his life, after hearing what God had planned for him, he realized what God had called him to do. He had seen a dream. He had this dream that God had birthed in his heart. Joseph, out of anyone that I can see in Scripture, had every reason just to abandon his dream, to abandon what God had called him to do because of the hardship, the injustice, everything that he went through in his life. It says in the Scripture, Joseph had a dream. And inside of every believer, I believe that God has birthed a dream. God has called us to something. God has birthed a passion, a desire, a dream inside of you that He's called you to fulfill in this lifetime. He did not bring you into this world just because you're by mistake, or is your existence even a mere accident. God has a divine plan. God has a divine purpose for you. God has given us a dream. Dreams are powerful. Dreams give us purpose. Dreams give us purpose to live. Dreams impart energy and commitment that otherwise we just kind of stumble along in life, not knowing the purpose and direction that God has called us to. And many of us today may not see the fulfillment of that dream in our lives. There's some people here today that you had a dream. God may have birthed something inside of your heart. You envisioned yourself doing something great for God. Your life was so full of passion. You were on fire because God had given you a dream to go after. God gave you a dream of greatness, dreams of passion, dreams of doing great things for the kingdom of God. You began to realize your purpose. You began to realize your destiny, what God had been calling you to. It may have been inside the church. It may have been in the secular world, in your job. But God has birthed a dream inside of everybody. You lived, you ate, you breathed this dream. It consumed you. And because you knew it was from God, it is only when you pursued this dream that you felt totally alive. You felt like, this is what God has called me to do. This is what I was made for. I know that if I pursue this, I will be living the purpose that God has created me to live out. This is why I'm here. But for whatever reason, you may feel like your dream had been squashed. Either discouragement or distraction or disappointment came into your life. But I believe that God sent me here today to tell you that it's not over yet. Don't give up on the dream that God has given you. Because remember this, that it's not how you start, but it's how you finish. You may have come across some disappointment, some discouragement, some obstacles may have come in your way. But God's saying it's not over until it's over. It's not over yet. God's still got a plan. God's still placed a calling upon your life. God still has a purpose for you. John Pemberton was a pharmacist in Atlanta who liked to fool around with different concoctions and medicinal formulas. One day while mixing in a little pot, he decided to bring this concoction that of different kinds of flavors and liquids to a pharmacy down the street. And he mixed it with carbonated water and had customers try it out. And it was only just a matter of just a few days that they began to sell this drink, and people were loving it, and it was kind of the greatest thing that they sold in that store. And today, you know, Coca-Cola is one of the world's largest and most successful companies. Why? Because of a dream. That every person in the world would taste Coca-Cola. And now over 200 countries sell 230 different types of Coca-Cola products. To really live to your full potential, you're going to have a desire to dream. We need to dream big. We need to grasp a hold of the dream and the call that God has put in our life. What has God birthed inside of us to do? The former CEO of Coca-Cola shared this in a speech one time. He said, a billion hours ago, human life appeared on Earth. A billion minutes ago, Christianity appeared. A billion seconds ago, the Beatles performed in the Ed Sullivan Show. A billion Coca-Colas ago was yesterday morning. And the question we're asking ourselves now is, what must we do to make a billion Cokes this morning? We know Coca-Cola had a dream. But what's your dream? What's your dream? What has God placed in your heart? God has used many people to do awesome things because He's inspired them with a dream. And Joseph was one of those people that He inspired with a dream. And if we want to fulfill God's given dreams in our lives, we need to be like Joseph. And this is what we've got to do. We've got to hold on to that dream. If you look at Genesis 37, verse 5, it says, Joseph had a dream. You see, to have a dream is one thing, but to hold on to that dream, to hold on to what God had spoken into your life, is another thing. It's very easy to get distracted by life's circumstances. It's very easy to get distracted by hardships and being treated unfairly. And it looks like life isn't going the way it looks like it's supposed to go for this to happen. But in those tough times, in those times when it seems like God may have left us, that God just kind of forgot us, we feel like Joseph, we got thrown in prison, we're treated unfairly, we need to remember that it's a God-given dream, it's a purpose and it's a plan that God has placed on our life. It's not over until it's over. See, there are two ways the devil will want to frustrate us. First of all, it's through failure. And also, it's through that which is incomplete in our life. God has given us all a purpose for living. He has put us here to live out His will in our lives. And to live outside of that will do nothing but leave us frustrated and feel like we've missed out on life. Feel a sense of regret, a feeling, a sense of no purpose, that we're just living our life to get through it. God may have even spoken to you when you were younger and really began to see what God's will for your life really is. I mean, for a while you were excited, you're passionate, you're chasing after this God-given dream with everything that you had within you. And then you may not have seen the results. But you didn't realize that God would first entrust you with the little, and then you would be found faithful, and God would entrust you with more. You may not have been seeing the fulfillment of God's promise in the time that you thought it would happen, so you gave up. You didn't hold on. And I believe I'm speaking to somebody here today. What started out in fire will not end up in smoke. And God is saying to us today here, He's saying, pursue me, go after me with everything that's within you. And as you focus your attention on me, and you will see my plan unfold in your life, and hold on to that dream. Hold it dear to your heart and pursue the call I place upon your life. I have a plan, I have a purpose for you to give you a future and a hope. Some of you may have given up. Some of you have thrown in the towel because somewhere, somehow, someone may have hurt you. Some ministry, some person may have hurt you. You said, well, it's time for someone else to take up that mantle. It's time for somebody else to do that, to take care of that. I've done enough. I'm going to pass the torch. See, if you're still breathing, God has a purpose for you. God has a plan for and a purpose for you to continue to walk in the destiny and the calling that He has placed upon your life. Things may have gotten hard. Things may have gotten tough. Things may just seem like it's not working out. But God has a plan. God uses all things together for good. Romans 8:28 says, it even says that Joseph, what you meant for evil, God turned it for good. All that garbage, all that junk that just seems like it's putting you down, that seems like it's hindering your progress and what God has called you to do, God is getting ready to turn it around and use it for your good. That's how God works in this imperfect world. Hold on to that dream no matter what comes your way, no matter what circumstance it is, no matter how you might feel. Hold on to God's Word and what He's already spoken into your life. Hold on because it's not over yet. Hold on even when it seems like the dream is dying. Hold on when it seems like things are going under. Hold on when you are discouraged. Why? Because there's a resurrection waiting to happen. Look at what happened to Joseph. In Genesis 37:5, it shows us that he was hated by his brothers. 37 verse 18, it says that his brothers plotted to kill him, but he was sold into slavery. His character was destroyed by false accusations. He was imprisoned. He was forgotten in jail. But God had given him a dream. That he'd be a ruler, that he'd be a man of much influence and be able to help his nation, help his family. in a time of need. But through this time, Genesis 39 says, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph, a young man favored by his father. His brothers were very jealous of him. They threw him, they beat him, threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery. He was taken from Israel to go to Egypt. Thrown in prison. But it says here, the Lord was with Joseph. He was treated unfairly. He was treated unjust. But God was with him. You see, God doesn't forget us. He's with us every step of the way. Even if life throws you some curveballs. You see, Joseph held on to his dream. He had dreams of greatness. He had showed him that he would one day rule over his brothers and ultimately a nation. And it all started with a God-given dream. It seemed as though his dream had been squashed. It seemed as though there was no longer any hope of God fulfilling God's plan in Joseph's life. But he held on. Something inside of him, in that prison, something inside of him, when he was being treated unfairly, falsely accused, said, "It's not over yet. It's not over yet. I remember what God spoke to me. I remember the plans and the purposes that God revealed to me. I remember. It's not over yet. God's bigger than this situation. God's bigger than all this garbage that's happening in my life. God's bigger than this. And somehow, I don't know how God's going to do it, but He's going to turn it around for my good. So that His will can be accomplished on this earth and so His kingdom can be expanded." It's not over yet. It's not over yet until I take my last breath. It's not over until I see all of God's promises fulfilled in my life. It's not over until I've received all that God has in store for me. It's not over yet in my life. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to pursue God with everything that's within me. I'm going to go after everything that God has spoken into my life. I'm going to pursue the divine purpose God has given me here on this earth. It's not over yet. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to fight off that spirit of apathy, that spirit of laziness. I'm going to fight off that spirit of discouragement. I'm going to fight everything off that tries to discourage me. I'm going to fight. I'm going to win. I'm going to be victorious in this. Because I know God's will be done in my life. I'm going to be passionate about all that God wants me to do. But yet, there's some of us who have given up. You may have lost your fight. Your passion isn't there anymore. A lady was in a hospital with her husband who had a severe heart attack, and it looked like he was gonna pass. She was very distraught and very concerned that she'd have to live the rest of her life without her dear husband, the man that she married when she was very young. They enjoyed many years of marriage together. They never wanted to part, but it seemed apparent that the lady's husband could possibly die. And as he was laying in that bed in the hospital, she put her head down on the bed and said, "Don't die, don't die." And she cried, and tears were just coming down her face. Her husband responded very seriously. To his bride, "I'll promise you one thing. I'm not going to crawl my way to the grave. They're going to have to carry me." This man was willing to put up a fight. He wasn't just going to let himself go. He was going to do everything he could possibly do to enjoy this life, to live every bit of this life possible and fulfill the plans and the purposes that God had for him. It's not over yet. You see, we've got to refuse to take it easy. Did you know that probably one of the most serious issues that Christians face is, you know, sin's a huge issue, isn't it? But it's being at ease. Some people call it the at-ease disease. We get comfortable. We get complacent. Things seem too tough. We don't want to go against the grain. It's hard for us to move forward because of some of the struggles and the pains that we might experience in that process. See, something has to seize our soul. You know, we have to refuse to be complacent and stir up the gift of God that is within us. Didn't Paul say that to Timothy? He said, Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's within you. He didn't say, Timothy, ask God to stir up that gift for you. He said, Timothy, stir up that gift that's within you. It's Timothy's responsibility to stir up that gift that God had placed within him. We have to refuse to take it easy. Stir it up. Find that passion once again. Return to that first love. As the story of Joseph unfolds, we learn that even in spite of hardship and hurt and mistreatment, when it seemed like the dream was dead, that a resurrection was brought forth. After years in prison and years mistreated, Joseph rose up to walk in the destiny that God had placed on his life. He found favor with Pharaoh and made him the ruler over the land of Egypt. Why? Because he didn't give up the dream. There's something inside of him. There was something inside of him that said, it's not over yet. So let me give you some things, some keys to your dreams. First of all, stay with your dream. Sometimes we rationalize the dream away by thinking this will never happen. God can never use me. My situation doesn't line up to where God has called me to be. Doesn't seem like I can get there from here. See, Joseph would have never made it out of prison, or would he be put in one of the highest positions of power in the land if he had given up the dream, if he didn't stick with it. Secondly, remain in a place of need before God. It will not be our talents or our abilities that will accomplish the will of God. It will be our heart of submission and surrender to God in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask God to use what we have to complete his dream. Thirdly, have a plan. Make a plan. But wait, that's not being led by the Holy Spirit. God uses planning. God can speak to you in the planning process to fulfill the plan and purpose that God has spoken to you about. God can speak to you in your prayer closet about the plan. Probably a lot easier than he can when you're just flying by the seat of your pants. Make a plan. Number four, resist the fear of failure. We cannot be afraid to fail. It happens. But it's what we do with that failure that really matters. It's what do we learn from our failures, and will we be willing to get back up again? Accomplishing what God has planned for your life, the purposes God has placed in your heart, doesn't mean that you will never fail. To fulfill God's will in your life, you've got to be willing to fail. And when you see somebody fail, love them, help them, encourage them, and pick them up. because they just might be on the road to fulfilling God's purposes in your life. Man, the body of Christ has really shot some people down. There's men that have been in ministry that have messed up, and there's been like no forgiveness. There's been people in churches that have messed up. There's been no forgiveness. We want to be people of love. We want to be people of grace. We want to see people with the same eyes that Jesus sees them. God's plan is always restoration. Always restoration. But for some reason, we have all these rules. We have all these ideas of our own of what it should look like. But God looks at us with eyes of love and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Also, we cannot be swayed by other people's opinions. If Joseph was swayed by other people's opinions, he would have stopped a long time ago. They basically said, Joseph, you're crazy. Just keep your mouth shut, you know? But Joseph said, no, God spoke to me. God spoke to me. I know something. I mean, it seems totally crazy, but I know this more than I know anything else, that God has a plan. He has a purpose. We cannot be swayed by other people's opinions. If we miss the dream, we'll miss the dream if we do not remain focused on it and will allow others to pull us away. I always think of Martin Luther King. He was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and grew up in a time that the United States was very segregated. Through his education, through his experience, through his relationship with Christ, he developed strong convictions and even just as strong speaking skills. And he felt the weight and the responsibility to make a difference in this world. During a time of trouble, during a time when people were treated unfairly, he led peaceful demonstrations and protests, bus boycotts, marches, and other peaceful protests. He experienced a lot of opposition. But even with all this, it wasn't over yet. His dream endured. His dream was that his four children will one day live in a nation where they would not be judged by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And this became a reality in 1964, and when he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for helping to pass the Civil Rights Act in 1964. You see, in spite of all the hindrances, he still lived the dream. He lived the plans and the purposes that God had called him to do. It wasn't over until it was over. He fought hard. He lived to his maximum potential. He lived out what God had called him to do until the day he drew his last breath. He lived out the plan for his life all the way to the end. I'm going to close with this. A quote from Sir Winston Churchill. We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. So let's close right there. Let's pray.